Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Yep.
Welcome back.
What a state of affairs. What a state of affairs. We are in such, gosh, man, you know, Ethan Cohen's tweet, I never expected Idiocracy to become a documentary. We're there. You know, Washington, his farewell address, the period for a new election of a citizen to administer the executive government of the United States being not far distant. The time actually arrived when your thoughts must be employed in designating the person who is to be clothed with that important trust. It appears to me proper, especially as it may conduce to a more distinct expression of the public voice, that I should now apprise you of the resolution I have formed to decline being considered among the number of those out of whom a choice is to be made. We go from that to the guy that Greg Gutfeld interviewed recently, who said that being woke means you're a loser. So, yeah. I don't understand how that's not of grave concern to folks. It's I'm speechless. Astonishing. But POTUS 45 is worshipped. And we are becoming, we are, I don't know, turning into the idiocracy that guys like Carl Sagan feared. All right, so the drug thing, you know, am I exaggerative? Again, just Sherry Tenpenny's quote, vaccines are the backbone of the entire pharmaceutical industry. If they can make these children sick from a very early age, they become customers. These children become customers for life. The money isn't really to be made in the vaccine industry. The money is or it wasn't, you know, and Bill Gates says that the decade of vaccines has been wildly profitable. Remember, turned $10 billion, the decade of vaccines, into a $200 billion economic benefit. That's according to Bill Gates himself. He told Becky Quick, CNBC's Becky Quick on Squawk Box back in 2019 at Davos at the World Economic Forum. Gavi and Seppi and all of these fun things that they've created that just happened to coincide with suddenly we have a thing and now we need a new vaccine for it and we have all of this. What do you suppose is going to happen? The $200 billion is going to turn into what? $2 trillion worth of economic benefit? So it wasn't always this profitable, but now it's wildly profitable. That's a whole different discussion. But Sherry Tenpenny's point is well observed. The money isn't really to be made in the vaccine industry. The money is made by Big Pharma with all of the drugs that are given to treat and address all the illnesses that are subsequent to the side effects of the vaccines. And again, the side effects of the side effects, you know, side effects of vaccines and also the drugs. So again, let's listen to the Ingrezza commercial. Go ahead, please.
mental health meds, and your mind is finally in a better place. Except now, you have uncontrollable body movements called tardive dyskinesia, TD. And it can seem like that's all people see. Some meds for mental health can cause abnormal dopamine signaling in the brain. While how it works is not fully understood, Ingrezza is thought to reduce that signaling.
Ingrezza is a prescription medicine used to treat adults with TD movements in the face and body. People taking Ingrezza can stay on their current dose of most mental health meds. Don't take Ingrezza if you're allergic to any of its ingredients. Ingrezza may cause serious side effects, including sleepiness. Don't drive, operate heavy machinery, or do other dangerous activities until you know how Ingrezza affects you. Other serious side effects include potential heart rhythm problems and abnormal movements.
Shift the focus more on you. Ask your doctor about Ingrezza. It's simple. One pill, once daily. Number one prescribed for TD. Learn how you could pay as little as $0 at Ingrezza.com.
So tardive dyskinesia is literally something that's induced, this new thing, you know, predominantly induced by, you know, you've been taking mental health meds and your mind is finally in a better place, except maybe not. Remember 10 years ago when I talked about, it was actually about 12 years ago, I think, the NPR story about Chantix, you know, there are lots of people saying they're having suicidal thoughts and stuff. And so I was joking, sardonically saying Chantix, you know, the quit smoking or die trying drug. And there was supposed to be an investigation. You don't need to investigate. It causes this kind of behavior. There are multiple studies. I've talked about those in the past. Go to SSRIstories.org. More than 7,000 stories, most of which published in newspapers of record or scientific journals, about prescription antidepressant, SSRIs in particular, medications where people, you know, go postal or want to climb up on a McDonald's and shoot stuff or whatever. So then you have this commercial, you know, your mind is finally in a better place, except when it's not. But you know what? Correlation does not equal causation, except when it does. So the commercial, except now you have uncontrollable body movements called tardive dyskinesia. And it can, you know, seem like that's all people see. You know, you're short-circuiting like a piece of machinery. You're having these twitches. Some meds for mental health can cause abnormal dopamine signaling in the brain. While how it works is not fully understood, Ingrezza is thought to reduce that abnormal. What? So it's like layers of stupidity and irony. But the last one that I'll mention and we'll move on. Except now you have uncontrollable body movements. And so to Sherry Tenpenny's point, you know, the money is made by Big Pharma with all of the drugs that are given to treat and address all the illnesses that are subsequent to the side effects and of vaccines and of the other drugs that you're taking. I mean, we've all heard this story, right? So-and-so goes in for whatever, and they say, take this pill. One pill turns into three, turns into eight, turns into where did he go? Oh, he died. Huh. But you know what? Correlation does not equal causation. One pill, three pills, eight pills, dead. No causation. Clearly no causation, except when it is and when it does. It's just crazy. So except now you have uncontrollable body movements. And in the commercial, just seconds later, Ingrezza may cause some serious side effects, including sleepiness. Don't drive, operate heavy, blah, 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 till you know how Ingrezza affects you. Other serious side effects include potential heart rhythm problems and abnormal movements. Oh, my goodness. Except now you have uncontrollable body movements. Some, you know, other serious side effects include abnormal movements. Shift the focus more on you. Ask your doctor about Ingrezza. I do not understand how this continues. I do not understand. A I mean, I understand the conditioning and, you know, all of that, but the information is out. The cat's out of the bag. We're talking about a lot of it lately on this broadcast, been talking about it for decades on this network. How is this still happening? I said I would get through some stuff. Back to Verl K. Spears, Pied Pipers of Babylon. Just the table of contents is a lot. So I'll just finish going through that. I sort of got high-centered on the Tontine Ponzi insurance scheme that's now been legitimized and institutionalized. It's a highly venerated institution. Oh, very prestigious. So that's chapter 6, the admiral goes to work. Part 2 includes the Tontine insurance, 14th amendment Tontine insurance. So continuing, 16th amendment, February 3, 1913, the de facto 16th, the de jure 16th question mark. 17th amendment, April 8, 1913, the de facto 17th, the de jure 17th question mark. A jurisdictional defect. Part 3, the Federal Reserve Act, the legislative coup de grace, December 23, 1913. Merry Christmas. I warn you, well, never mind. Continuing, background, key provisions, nature of the act, on trusts, nature of trusts, classification of trusts, public or charitable trusts, enforcement of public or charitable trusts. A corporation may be a trustee of powers. Example of a charitable public trust, its benefits explained. Price of the benefits, unexplained. Implementation of the power. The public pledge of revenue assurance. Basic elements of a wager policy. Part 4, HJR 192, another legislative coup, June 5, 1933. Part 5, Erie Railroad versus Tompkins, the judicial coup de grace, 1938. Introduction, development of the Erie Doctrine, the Erie case. Further development, three landmark cases. The constitutional basis, question mark. Federal common law or specialized, quote unquote, common law. Part 6. The International Monetary Fund, 1945, introduction, birth of the IMF, part 7, Public Law 95-147, October 28, 1977, part 8, synopsis, the facts, the law, chapter 7, the General Maritime Law of Nations, dealing with wager policies. Part 1, Introduction. Part 2, Some General Maritime Statutes. Statutes at Large from the 15th to the 20th year of King George II. Halsbury's Statutes of England. The Life Insurance Act, 1774. The Maritime Insurance Act, 1906. The Marine Insurance Act, 1906. The Marine Insurance Gambling Policies, parenthetically, Acts, 1909. Chapter 8, Revelation. Well, see, here's the problem. This is where I really sort of, my eye starts to twitch. Revelation, plural, is not the biblical book. That's a different book with an entirely different modus operandi. So this is where I kind of, in Verl K. Spears, Pied Pipers of Babylon, it's Revelation is pluralized. That's not the... It's supposed to be the biblical book. That is not the same book. So I'm just going to say singular. Revelation, the city of Babylon, merchants and the law of the sea. Part 1, the beast of the sea, power of the beast. Part 2, city of Babylon. Part 3, the merchants of Babylon. Speaking of all of these drugs and big pharma, I just got a provocative message from a friend this morning. It's very provocative. Not going to get into why. I'm just going to say it's, wow, hopefully we are coming out of her, my people. So, you know, he says, with a screenshot of the Strong's translation, looking at Revelation 18:23, the original text was pharmakia. This would prove to be very profound. The great businessmen of Babylon deceived the nations through sorcery, a.k.a. pharmakia. He says, I'm sure you have covered this, but I find it fascinating the great businessmen would deceive the nations through drugs. Yeah, I've covered that, and it is fascinating. And for this person in particular to say this is very provocative. I think it's very encouraging. Anyway, continuing. Merchants of Babylon synopsis on oaths, the relativity syndrome, chapter 9, land patents and allodial titles, which my mind immediately goes to Blackstone and how he said that basically the feudal conflict trumps allodial. You know, when you have a feudal situation going on, allodial is sort of suspended. I digress. Bad guys rely on that kind of intrigue, though. Land patents and allodial titles. Introduction, color of title. You know, hue of title. Land patents, why they were created, the power and authority of a patent. Treaties, the substance of federal land patents. Part 6, the land acquisition treaties, Northwest Ordinance, Treaty of Peace, Treaty of Cession, Treaty of Ghent, the Oregon Treaty, Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, Gadsden Purchase, Cession of Texas. Part 7, the Supremacy Clause. Part 8, in summary. Part 9, Common Law Liens. Chapter 10, Solutions. Part 1, Introduction. Part 2, A Satisfactory Judgment. Part 3, Defending Your Judgment. As a defendant, offense, the best defense. Part 4, Where to Go for Help, Universal Life Insurance Common Law Program, Reflections of the Author, Bibliography, Glossary, Exhibits, Figures. Anyway, it's an interesting book. And one of the most exhaustive, comprehensive, little tiny books that you can find anywhere, I think. Anyway, it's definitely, I mean, if nothing else, it serves as a marvelous primer. And it's probably the most remarkable thing about it is that it's less than 350 pages. How is that even possible? I probably couldn't do it in less than 3,500 pages. No way. So I think that's brilliant. I mentioned a little bit of Christopher Bryson's The Fluoride Deception, Chapter 12. Bernays, Engineering Consent. You know, maybe the only other bit that I'll mention right now, anyway, is this bit. You know, so it's focused, you know, Christopher Bryson focuses on Bernays' role in selling fluoride to the American people. Like he says, Bernays also persuaded Americans to add fluoride to water. And so, you know, Bernays is laughing about it. So Bryson is sort of pursuing this issue. And so this excerpt from page 160. Before World War II, the diminutive media wizard had been a PR advisor to Alcoa. He operated from the same office building, 1 Wall Street, where the Alcoa lawyer Oscar Ewing had also worked. And I will conclude that excerpt when we come back. Stick around, more right after this break.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. Not to get too carried away, but let me back up just a bit. I like the way that Christopher Bryson draws the reader's attention to the fact that Bernays was still a sharp fellow. Bernays also persuaded Americans to add fluoride to water. I do not recall... I do recall doing that, he said softly during another interview at his home in 1993. Although Bernays was then 102 years old, his memory was good. So this particular interview primarily concerning Chapter 12, Engineering Consent, was a 1991 interview where Bryson interviewed Bernays at his home on his 100th birthday, which is interesting. So in conjunction with BBC, Bryson apparently interviewed him. So his memory was good at 102, 2 years later. So during this interview on his 100th birthday, Bryson's interviewing And so back to where I was. Before World War II, the diminutive media wizard, Edward Bernays, Sigmund Freud's nephew, had been a PR advisor to Alcoa. He operated from the same office building, One Wall Street, where the Alcoa lawyer, Oscar Ewing, had also worked. Oscar Ewing, not to get too far ahead, but he's kind of a central figure in Bryson's book and is mentioned throughout the book. More on that in a second, perhaps. So, worked where Oscar Ewing had also worked. In 1950, Ewing had been the top government official to sign off on the endorsement of water fluoridation as Federal Security Administrator in charge of the U.S. Public Health Service. So Bryson asks, "Do you recall working with Oscar Ewing on fluoridation?" I asked Bernays. "Yes," he replied. Pressed about his relationship with Ewing, Bernays shifted uncomfortably. A memory that had been crystal clear seconds earlier suddenly clouded. I had the same relationship that I had to other clients. I treated them the way a lawyer treats a client or a doctor treats a client. We had discussion of the problem at hand and how to meet them. I don't remember him very well, he insisted, which is a lie, obviously. Bernays glanced furtively at me. Obviously, I did nothing without their approval in advance. So what's the big deal? If you don't know the name Oscar Ewing, maybe it doesn't mean much, but I would go back to Chapter 9 of Bryson's The Fluoride Deception. Chapter 9, Denora, A Rich Man's Hocus Pocus, Denora, Pennsylvania. And this little bit. The most visible U.S. air pollution disaster after the war was in Denora, Pennsylvania, where 20 people were killed and many hundreds were injured following a smog that blanketed the mill town over the Halloween weekend of October 1948. Philip Sadler, the chemical consultant and anti-pollution crusader, had gone to Denora immediately afterward and written a report blaming fluoride. However, his conclusions were so drowned out by the subsequent office or official public health service investigation that blamed a temperature inversion and a, quote, mixture of industrial pollutants. So without, you know, well, just a little bit more. Robert Keough and Edward Largent also investigated the disaster and prepared medical evidence against the Denora survivors, who sued the U.S. Steel Company for damages. Keough's files shine a stark new light upon these historic events. So, skipping ahead, that's pages 114 and 15, skipping ahead to page 126, but what does this guy Oscar Ewing have to do with all of this? Although the cards now seem stacked against it, industry had an ace in the hole, a friend in Washington, only 170 miles from the grieving mill town across the Allegheny Mountains in Washington, D.C. The Truman administration was basking in the sunny afterglow of the November election triumph. Plum jobs were going to those who had engineered the upset victory over the Republican Thomas Dewey, one of President Truman's most trusted deputies, and a key figure in the election victory was fellow Midwesterner Oscar R. Ewing. As acting chair of the Democratic National Committee, the Harvard-trained lawyer had raised millions of dollars for the election campaign and had helped to craft the president's folksy media image of just plain Harry. I wonder how he was able to craft that image. Could it have been that the guy who shared office space with them may have helped? Well, you never know, but again, correlation does not equal causation, except when it does. We'll be right back.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com.
I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off Drop-In Lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off Drop-In Lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
It's the good life. Full of fun seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you, and in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Thursday, September 16th, 2021. One final excerpt, and then I'll move on. There's some other stuff I wanted to do. So skipping down a little bit. Speaking of Oscar Ewing, Alcoa. Well, skipping Ewing's bio that Bryson includes. During the war, Ewing had moved to Washington as Alcoa's top legal liaison with the federal government. Actually, maybe just this, the last paragraph here. On Wall Street. Law firm Hughes, Hubbard, and Ewing, the senior firm member was Charles Evan Hughes, had been an Alcoa attorney since 1910. Hughes would subsequently be a Republican presidential candidate and a U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice, while Oscar Ewing became one of the most powerful attorneys in America, earning a reported Depression-era salary of $100,000. During the war, Ewing had moved to Washington as Alcoa's top legal liaison with the federal government. Fascism is cool. A key wartime concern of the aluminum manufacturers was, of course, lawsuits from workers and communities for fluoride air pollution damage to health and property. One of Ewing's legal friends was lawyer Frank Ingersoll, from the same Pittsburgh firm as Frank Siemens, head of the Fluoride Lawyers Committee. See Chapter 8. The old friends kept in touch with Ewing even after he became a Washington public servant. Because, again, fascism is cool. And, you know, what Madison said may justly be pronounced the very definition of tyranny, I guess, is cool and in vogue, too. Of course. Cunning, ambitious, unprincipled men, as Washington put it. A Dear Jack letter from Frank Ingersoll in June 1947, for example, sought Ewing's help in getting a friend appointed to the Federal Trade Commission. Dear Frank, Ewing responded, I would be only too happy to help anyone in whom you, Alcoa President Roy Hunt and George Gibbons, are interested. So, you know, that just sort of is the tip of the iceberg, or maybe a snowflake on the tip of the iceberg, as to why Oscar Ewing was a central figure here. And, you know, Alcoa. So speaking of Alcoa, aluminum fluoride, maybe this little dandy. Still over on Gary Null's website? Nope. No, of course not. Fluoride and aluminum, toxic combination of fluoro-aluminum complex. And a number of citations, including this, a 1998 study by Julie A. Varner and colleagues at the Psychology Department of Binghamton University, New York, shows that neurotoxic effects like these are enhanced by the synergetic action of fluoride and aluminum. Varner describes, quote, alterations in the nervous system resulting from chronic administration of the fluoroaluminum complex or equivalent levels of fluoride in the form of sodium fluoride. Sodium fluoride. The rats were given fluoride in drinking water at the same level deemed optimal, quote-unquote, by pro-fluoridation groups, namely one part per million, 1 ppm. Most pronounced damage was seen in animals that got the fluoride in conjunction with aluminum. The pathological changes found in the brain tissue of the animals were similar to the alterations found in the brains of people with Alzheimer's disease and dementia. The authors speculate that fluoride enables aluminum to cross the blood-brain barrier. These results are especially disturbing because of the low dose level of fluoride that shows the toxic effect in rats. Rats are more resistant to fluoride than humans. And there's more, again, you know, the study fluoride and aluminum, or the post fluoride and aluminum toxic combination of fluoroaluminum complex, originally posted over on Gary Null's website. So, you know, that's just a little bit of fun stuff there. I wanted to get back to Hayek's road to serfdom, though, and, you know, the laying of the groundwork for it's the communitarian way, dear comrades. So a little bit of this, and then I'll set this aside, too. So, you know, what does, you know, speaking of the pyramid with the raised capstone and, you know, piercing the veil and all that kind of nonsense. Communitarianism, and, you know, the community is all, the individual is none. There is no individual except in the context of the community. How does that really work? How does it really play out? Hayek explains, Chapter 10, Why the Worst Get on Top of the Road to Serfdom. Hayek's Road to Serfdom. Where do we begin? Page 154, perhaps. To treat the universal tendency of collectivist policy to become nationalistic as due entirely to the necessity for securing unhesitating support would be to neglect another and no less important factor. It may indeed be questioned whether anyone can realistically conceive of a collectivist program other than in the service of a limited group, whether collectivism can exist in any form other than that of some kind of particularism, be it nationalism, racialism, or classism. Now, again, this seems to hint at precisely the definition of tyranny Madison described, right? This favoritism, whatever you want to call it, you know, this idea of the accumulation of all powers, executive, you know, legislative, executive, judiciary in the same hands, whether of one, a few, or many, whether hereditary, self-appointed, or elective, may justly be pronounced the very definition of tyranny. This service of a limited group. And so it becomes a mythical sort of thing, you know, because of its bigness. No, I mean, how dare you insinuate, Chris, that there would be a few people making things happen, you know, and that everyone else is sort of subject to these people and these things, you know, is just, it's such an absurd insinuation. And that men like Oscar Ewing are inordinately powerful and influential from behind the wizard's curtain. The great booming, buzzing confusion, William James. So, continuing. The belief in the community of aims and interests with fellow men seems to presuppose a greater degree of similarity of outlook and thought than exists between men merely as human beings. If the other members of one's group cannot all be personally known, they must at least be of the same kind as those around us, think and talk in the same way and about the same kind of things, in order that we may identify ourselves with them. Collectivism on a world scale seems to be unthinkable, except in the service of a small ruling elite. It would certainly raise not only technical but above all moral problems, which none of our socialists is willing to face. If the English proletarian, for instance, is entitled to an equal share of the income now derived from his country's capital resources and of the control of their use because they are the result of exploitation, so on the same principle, all the Indians would be entitled not only to the income from, but also to the use of proportional share of the British capital, and also control over their use, right? To Hayek's point. But what socialists seriously contemplate the equal division of existing capital resources among the people of the world. They all regard the capital as belonging not to humanity, but to the nation. Though even within the nation, few would dare to advocate that the richer regions should be deprived of some of their capital equipment in order to help the poorer regions. What socialists proclaim as a duty toward the fellow members of the existing states, they are not prepared to grant to the foreigner. From a consistent collectivist point of view, the claims of the have-not nations for a new division of the world are entirely justified, though if consistently applied, those who demand it most loudly would lose by it almost as much as the richest nations. They are therefore careful not to base their claims on any equalitarian principles, but on the pretended superior capacity to organize other peoples. It's the technocratic way, after all, right, dear comrades? One of the inherent contradictions of the collectivist philosophy is that, while basing itself on the humanistic morals which individualism has developed, it is practicable only within a relatively small group. That socialism, so long as it remains theoretical, is internationalist, while as soon as it is put into practice, whether in Russia or in Germany, it becomes violently nationalist, is one of the reasons why liberal socialism, quote-unquote, as most people in the Western world imagine it, is purely theoretical, while the practice of socialism is everywhere totalitarian. And he cites Franz Borkenau, Socialism, Nationalism, or International, 1942. Continuing, collectivism has no room for the wide humanitarianism of liberalism, classical liberalism, but only for the narrow particularism of the totalitarian. If the community, quote-unquote, or the state are prior to the individual, if they have ends of their own, independent of and superior to those of the individuals, only those individuals who work for the same ends can be regarded as members of the community. Is that how it feels in today's America, dear comrade? It is a necessary consequence of this view that a person is respected only as a member of the group. And there's this fracturing of groups in order to reassemble them. You know, Balkanization is what it's called, if we want to give it a name or a term. And that's a term of art. Anyway, British intrigue, Wahhabism, etc. Necessary consequence of this view that a person is respected only as a member of the group, that is, only if and insofar as he works for the recognized common ends, and that he derives his whole dignity only from this membership and not merely from being a man. Indeed, the very concepts of humanity and therefore of any form of internationalism are entirely products of the individualistic view of man, and there can be no place for them in a collective system of thought. Apart, and that, you know, he cites there, it is entirely in the spirit of collectivism when Nietzsche makes his Zarathustra say, 1,000 goals have existed hitherto, for 1,000 people existed, but the fetter for the 1,000 necks is still lacking. The one goal is still lacking. Humanity has no goal yet. But tell me, I pray, my brethren, if the goal be lacking to humanity, is not humanity itself lacking? Continuing, Hayek, apart from the basic fact that the community of collectivism can extend only as far as the community of purpose of the individuals exist or can be created, several contributory factors strengthen the tendency of collectivism to become particularist and exclusive. Of these, one of the most important is that the desire of the individual to identify himself with a group is very frequently the result of a feeling of inferiority. What happens when that is fomented or goaded or engineered socially? This feeling of inferiority. and that therefore his want will be satisfied only if membership of the group confers some superiority over outsiders. And these days, we are bombarded with messages of the superiority of the victim last man, you know, Nietzsche's last man, the victim psychopathy, particularly in the last man. And that's the group that you want to be a part of. And that's the opposite of reality. Stick around. I'll be right back.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a creep. I'm a werewolf.
Welcome back. Final segment of today's broadcast. So, in Federalist number 51, Madison wisely observed the great security against a gradual concentration of the several powers in the same department consists in giving to those who administer each department the necessary constitutional means and personal motives to resist encroachments of the others. And he exhorted, ambition must be made to counteract ambition. And then, you know, Washington, not long after, reminded us of these cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men. You know, you look at these kinds of things that Hayek is writing about, and, you know, we have the constitutional safeguards and stuff, and there are some people who say, yeah, but, you know, if I'm not doing it, somebody's going to do it. Like this guy. Remember the Steve Croft interview, George Soros, and this little bit? Go ahead, please.
Of evil. I mean, this was a very personal experience of evil. My understanding is that you went out with this protector of yours who swore that you were his adopted godson.
Yes.
Went out, in fact, and helped in the confiscation of property from the Jews.
That's right. Yes.
I mean, that sounds like an experience that would send lots of people to the psychiatric couch for many, many years. Was it difficult?
Not at all. Not at all. Maybe as a child, you don't see the connection. But it created no problem at all.
No feeling of guilt.
No.
For example, that I'm Jewish, and here I am watching these people go. I could just as easily be there. I should be there. None of that.
Well, of course, I could be on the other side, or I could be the one from whom the thing is being taken away. But there was no sense that I shouldn't be there, because that was... well, actually, funny way, it's just like in markets, that if I weren't there, of course I wasn't doing it, but somebody else would be taking it away anyhow. In other words, whether I was there or not, I was only a spectator. The property was being taken away.
I was only a spectator. This is how some people think, absolving themselves, which always reminds me of that scene, Zek Chilovic from Jack Reacher, you know, Werner Herzog's character. Enough. There is no such thing. We take what can be taken. This is what we do. You know, these people should not be in positions of power and influence. And there was a time in this country when some folks said ambition must be made to counteract ambition. And we seem to have lost our way. And so... there is a companion thought from My Utmost for His Highest, and you know, maybe I'll get into that tomorrow. Anyway, I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.